Thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done. And Lord, we thank you for this evening, another opportunity to be in this place away from all that's going on in this world and even in our own lives, and just to sit in here and worship you. And Father, would you just continue the work of your Spirit in our lives, Lord, as we open your word and we listen to what you have to say to us tonight. And we ask this and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Good evening, and please have a seat. How is everybody doing? Good? Okay. We are going to be in Micah chapter 5 first, and then Luke chapter 2. So if you have a Bible and you want to turn there and hold your place there, that would be great. So we are doing our theme this year, Jesus Is, and the Lord just continues to speak to me. I hope he's speaking to you during the week and during the month, to always remind me that Jesus is. And he does that in so many ways, and when he does that, it puts my mind immediately on him, back on him, because my mind tends to go all over the place. I've had a lot of extra things on my mind for several weeks, on top of what's always on my mind. I have a busy mind. I have a hyper mind, and my body is opposite. So it doesn't match up and can make me go crazy. But you know I wasn't here last time, and I'm very sorry I had to miss, but I had cataract surgery. And so with all of that and the appointments for that and then all the eye drops that you have to remember to do at certain times and all that, and I've got alarms set on my phone and all of that, so my head is crazy with that. I've had some stuff going on just within our household just that needs to be addressed. My desk is piled with papers. And you know, the closet that I just cleaned out, I open it up and it's a mess. And I said, you know, this is your fault. You are the one who doesn't put things away where they're supposed to go, which makes more work for you to have to then redo the closet. But that's my life right now. I never used to be like that. And then I've had some hard things and kind of emotional things with family and helping them navigate and trying to direct them to the Lord and things. So I've had a hard time focusing, more harder than typical. So one morning recently in my quiet time, I was especially distracted, and you know, when I'm aware that I've gone down this path, then I have to say, okay, Lord, you know, and bring myself back. But I had to do it so often, I just said, Lord, you got to help me focus. Please help me focus. And he just spoke to me, Jesus, Jesus is. And then he moved me on to Colossians 3:1-2. That says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of earth. Which then reminded me of the New Living Translation of that I love, and it's simply, let heaven fill your thoughts. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Fix your mind on that. Fix your mind on Jesus. Fix your mind that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So when my mind or your mind is going in all kinds of directions all at the same time, I am amazed at my husband who can just think of one thing. How do you do that? How do you do, or how do you think of nothing? Men have the ability to think of nothing. Like, well, what does that look like? What is that thought? I'm not thinking about anything. Well, I I've never not thought of anything. I'm usually, you know. Was that me? What did I do? Thank you. But when our minds are going all over the place, we're not resting. And our peace is being disturbed. And what a faithful and gracious God that we have who speaks to us, and how, you know, faithful he is to remind us and to turn our gaze on Jesus. And for me, the past few weeks, is turn your gaze on Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And I love that. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This is who Jesus is. Jesus, the promised Messiah and Savior of the world. Jesus, he is peace, and he is the Prince over peace. Micah chapter 5. The prophet Micah in chapter 5, he wrote about the coming of Messiah. Let's just read the first 5 verses. "Now gather yourself in troops, O daughter of troops. He has laid siege against us. They will strike the judge of Israel with a rod on the cheek. But you, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, though you are little among thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. They shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth." And this one, speaking of Messiah, speaking of Jesus, shall be peace. I love that verse. I've read Micah so many times, and I don't know that I've ever seen that verse. "And this one, Jesus, the Messiah, shall be peace." He is peace. It is who he is. And we've been talking about that every month, of who Jesus is. And he's so many things, but he is peace. The Hebrew word that is used for peace in Isaiah 9:6 and then also in Micah 5:5 is a very well-known word, Hebrew word for peace, and that is shalom. Okay, so, but today the word shalom kind of has really broadened its meaning, where when you were in Israel, they say shalom for hello, for goodbye, for how are you, for, you know, all kinds of things. And it's kind of gotten to be the way we say, "Hi, how you doing?" We don't want to know how you're doing, because we don't have time to stand there for 10 minutes for you to tell us. It's just a phrase. And I'm such a literal person, it just bugs me when I'm at the checkout and they're, "How are you? I mean, you know, how are you doing? Do you really want to know?" Probably not. And I don't care for them asking me what I'm going to do that day. That's just crossing the line there. So that word has a very broad meaning today, that shalom. I love the word. I love it. But the biblical meaning is a little deeper than that. And in these verses, it means, of course, it means peace. But what does that mean? It means a state of complete well-being, flourishing. Now listen, when you're listening to this definition, listen to, and this one shall be peace, okay? So this Jesus, who is peace, is a state of complete well-being, flourishing, wholeness, safe, quietness, and rest, set at one again. This one shall be peace. Jesus, in his name, shall be called the Prince of Peace. Now, going way back to the beginning, to the Garden of Eden, we know, as the Bible tells us, that there was sin in the garden through Adam and Eve, who sinned, and that they were separated, or their fellowship with God was broken. And their relationship was broken. And through them, because we all can trace our lives back, I don't care who we are, wherever we are, back to Adam and Eve, that we were born with a relationship that was severed from God because of sin in the world. But God, knowing that, had a plan before the beginning began, and he had a plan that he would send his Son, God the Son of God, to this earth to make peace with God. So he sent his Son, and one night, over 2,000 years ago, now you go to Luke 2, please. Joseph and Mary made their way to Bethlehem so that Mary could give birth to the Son of God, to Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men." Peace, because the Son of God was born. He was the Prince of Peace, came into the world. This one shall be peace, is now in the world. So yes, glory to God in the highest. And they should have known their scriptures that this was speaking of the Messiah. Jesus' presence brought hope and brought peace into this world. But we still needed that to be reconciled in our relationship with God the Father. Hebrews 9:22 tells us, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And you know, all through the Old Testament, when God laid out in the book of Exodus about the temple and the sacrifices and all of that, they would take their yearly sacrifice to atone for their sins, but it would just cover them. It was just like a Band-Aid until the Prince of Peace came. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So God's gift to the world is his Son Jesus, and then salvation through him. And when we believe in him, knowing that, yes, that is God the Son of God. God sent his Son, his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him is not going to perish, but is going to have everlasting life. And when we put our trust in him and believe, then this relationship is made new. We are no longer enemies of God. We have peace with God. That's huge. It's huge. You know, as believers, we know that and we hear that, and of course we believe it. But to just sit and meditate on it, to me, especially this time of year when we're going to be celebrating God's gift of Jesus all month long, because it goes to the cross. But just to meditate on that, of what that means and how God provided that salvation for us so that we could have peace with him because of Jesus' death on the cross, taking the sins of the whole world upon him, his death, his rising from the dead, we have peace with God back in relationship with him. If you can put up the first screen that we've got there. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Got it? Nope. Are they not in there? Okie dokie, I'll read really slow. Okay, so 2 Corinthians 5:21, if you're taking notes, you can jot that down. For he, speaking of God, made him, speaking of Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus, he was on the cross, and God placed every sin upon this sinless man. I cannot imagine how that would have felt, which is why it went dark for 3 hours. The evil and the wickedness of our sin. Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And then in Colossians 1:20, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, we're talking about Jesus, by him, whether things on the earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through the cross, he made peace. Again, that peace with God. Ephesians 2:14, for he himself, speaking of Jesus, is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. This Prince of Peace, he is our peace. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is only because of Jesus, Prince of Peace, that there can be any peace and that we can have peace. I mean, just him coming into the world so that he brings that peace, his presence brings the peace, and then him going to the cross so that we could have peace with God, so that we could be saved, is so gracious. There's just no words. We can't earn that. And yet God, in his love and his grace, to send his son to do that for us so that we can one day be in heaven with him is, it's just mind-boggling. If that were the only peace that he brings, that's enough. It's more than enough and way more than we could ever deserve. But Jesus also gives us his peace. That's amazing. That is a marvel. His peace, so that his peace can rule in our hearts and in our minds, so that we can have rest, we can be still, we don't have to be carried away with fear or anxiety, because Jesus gives us his peace. When Jesus was walking on this earth for those 3.5 years, because he is peace, he was at peace, completely at peace. There were bad things happening in the world at that time. There was a lot of hate toward him. I mean, these people were evil, hating him, trying to kill him. But he was free from all fear at all times that he lived on this earth. He was at peace. I mean, can you imagine being the disciples and being around such a one as the Prince of Peace, who no matter what happened, of course they would just look at him, you know? It's like a little kid, you know? If they're afraid and they look at their mom and their mom's calm and peaceful, it brings a calm and a peace on their hearts and in their lives. Jesus' peace is powerful. And when I think about that, I immediately think of the passage in Mark chapter 4, where Jesus tells his disciples as they're getting into the boat to go across the Sea of Galilee, he said to them, "Let's cross over to the other side." So they all got in this boat. The boats were not very big. Now, there were 13 of them, Jesus and his 12 disciples. So it was big enough for 12 to be in there and not sink it or anything, okay? But that's still a small boat, and they're all, you know, wooden boat. Well, we know what happened. If we've heard that or read that in Mark 4 or heard a teaching on it, that a great windstorm arose. And it was so fierce that the waves were hitting the boat, but not just hitting them, they were filling the boat. Not just a little splash, but filling the boat, and they were going to sink. Now, you've got a lot of those disciples were fishermen. So they're not wimps. They're seasoned fishermen. They have been in all kinds of storms on that lake. They were terrified. They thought, this is it. This is it. I don't know if you've ever been in a place like that in life where whether it's a car accident or whatever it is, and you're going, this is it. I'm going to die. This is it. And they were afraid. Well, Jesus, when he got in the boat, he just went to the stern. There was a pillow, and he just fell asleep. So he is completely at peace, asleep in the boat with a raging storm and water coming in the boat, and he's asleep. So they did what I'm sure each one of us would have done, and that is go wake him up and say, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die?" Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind, and then he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And it was. Immediately, a great calm, it tells us, came over the sea. Immediately, from his words, peace, be still. The end. I can imagine being one of the disciples, like, I can't believe this, how calm the sea is. This is a miracle. Yeah, it's a miracle. That's powerful peace. It's hard to comprehend that kind of peace. But Jesus' peace, as it tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it does surpass all understanding. And the peace of God, once we've given over our worry to him, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Now, the great thing is we don't have to understand his peace. We don't have to understand how it works. And I'm sure there are a lot of us in this room who have experienced that supernatural peace that surpasses your understanding, probably multiple times if you've walked with the Lord for quite a while. You just, from one moment to the next, peace. You're like, what is wrong with me? Why am I not worrying? Why am I not bothered? I mean, that's weird. But it shouldn't be weird. Nothing can take the place of God's peace. Nothing. It's priceless. At least it is to me. It is priceless. Because obviously, we've all had times where we're not in peace. There's fear, there's anxiety, there's fretting, there's worrying, there's whatever is in your life, how you handle that kind of stress. And yet, when that peace comes upon us because we've cried out to him, and that is gone, that all that worry, all that whatever, and we're like, he's got this. And you've got somebody saying, what if, what if, what if, what if? Because we all have people that will like to bring out what can happen that's bad. And the enemy is very good at that. But, you know, and you're like, so what if? So what if we die? We're going to heaven. I mean, really, you get to that point. It's like, it doesn't matter. God has this in control. I have the peace of God, the peace that passes understanding in ruling in my heart and in my mind. Now, before Jesus went to the cross, he said to his disciples in John 14, and he says to us, because he was talking about he's going to go away and all of that, he said to them, peace. I leave with you. I'm going, but I'm leaving you with my peace. And then he said, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's John 14:27. That verse, if you haven't thought about that verse for a while, think about it. Think about it for the rest of the week. Meditate on that. He said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. The world gives temporary peace. Anyone or anything other than Jesus gives temporary peace. And we've all experienced temporary peace. Could have been on Thanksgiving when you were with your family and there was a tiff or whatever, and then it was calm. You're like, okay, good, good. It's peaceful. You know, Christmas is coming, and if you're going to be with your family again, it's going to happen. I mean, it's just the way it is. It's just a little temporary peace. That's not Jesus's peace. It's not true peace. It might be calm for a moment, but it's not true peace. He said, I give you my peace. because I am the Prince of Peace. And when we believe in His word and in His promises, and also when we accept what comes into our lives, because what comes into our lives, unless we're in complete rebellion to God, complete disobedience, which hopefully nobody is, so we have to just say, this came, whatever this is, through the hand of God. Therefore, I can have peace. My peace won't be disturbed. Amy Carmichael's famous quote is, "In acceptance lieth peace." And it's not just, okay, fine, I accept that. It is, I receive that. Lord, whatever is happening in my personal life with me, whether it's my health, whether it's my mental health, whether it's something that's coming against me or whatever it might be, or whatever circumstance I'm going through that involves my family or other people that I know and that it's hard, I can have peace when I just receive it as this is what you have for me right now. And if you have this for me right now, you will equip me for it. And I can rest in your peace. You know, Jesus said to the disciples, let's cross over to the other side. If they would have remembered that, now he said we're crossing over to the other side, they wouldn't have freaked out. I mean, they could have sat back and like, wait a minute, he's gonna get the water out of the boat. Just wait. And they would have been at peace. We have to remember his word, his promises, so that our peace will remain. So Jesus said those things to his disciples, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. And then the first thing he said to his disciples when they were kind of hiding out in that room, and Jesus died and he rose and then he came to appear to his disciples, the first words Jesus said to them is, peace be with you. It's John 20, verse 19. That's the first thing he said, peace be with you. And then in verse 21, again, he said, peace to you. Okay, so they were afraid, keeping out of sight. They were just didn't know what happened, why'd he die, and this whole thing. And then Jesus shows up. He just reminded them of his peace. You know, we were not created to worry. We were created for a peaceful environment like the Garden of Eden, and for a relationship with God. And we live in a sinful world, a fallen world, we as fallen people, and the stress and the worry can kill us. It certainly affects our bodies because we're not made for it. We're just not made for it. We are made for peace. We are made for His peace to be upon and ruling in our hearts and in our minds. Having peace in our lives and having a peaceful mind is supposed to be the normal Christian life. Always. It's not supposed to be a special moment. I feel so peaceful right now. Everybody's fine. They're not calling me or texting me, so that means there's no problem. Everything is fine. No. It's a peace that is supposed to abide. It's an abiding peace that Jesus gives us. And there is plenty in this world that disrupts our peace. There's a lot that we think we should worry about and be fearful of. And there's a lot of sorrow. And again, we weren't created for sorrow. And Jesus knew this, and he told us, in this world, you will have tribulation, but remember, I have overcome the world. I am leaving you my peace. I speak peace into your life. So all the hard things, I know these are words and they are easy to say that we shouldn't worry. There are hard things that we experience, but we don't have to worry. God, you know, we have to remember, he has already seen it all. He knows how it's going to end. And, you know, technically we do too. We know that all things work together for good. Don't we know this? Yeah. So we've got to believe it, and we got to live it. We got to walk in it and know, okay, this is really hard. I don't like this, but Lord, you are going to do something in my life. And I don't want my peace disturbed. I want my peace to maintain. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. That tells us, be anxious for nothing. That means absolutely nothing. It doesn't matter who's got a problem, who's throwing a problem on you, what catastrophe there might have been, what earthquake, what fire, what flood, what hurricane, whatever other thing can happen. You know, it's be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And that request, I mean, that sounds so calm, but that request can be, help, Lord, I'm sinking. Or, like, you know, help, I don't know what to do. I'm overwhelmed right now. But you're talking to him. You're giving it to him. And once you do that, and the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I have to be reminded of this all the time. All the time. You know the verses, you know them by heart. And when you're in that panic or that frustration or whatever it might be, you just forget. You forget. We need to remind one another and ask the Lord, remind me, help me, and he will. And that peace which passes understanding, it'll calm your heart. Just like a storm ended and they were calm on that sea. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. You, speaking of God, will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord is everlasting strength. He will keep us in perfect peace when our mind is stayed on him. Not when our mind starts being anxious and thinking about our problem. The Christian life is a life of discipline, of not just physical discipline in terms of doing what you're supposed to do, but our minds. We need a disciplined mind, and you got to always bring it back. Okay, back on Jesus, back on Jesus. Back on Jesus. The NLT, the verse reads, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. When our mind is fixed on him. We used to sing that song, walking and talking with my mind, staying on Jesus. And that's where we have to live. It's certainly where I have to live, because it's too easy to get off. The Amplified even amplifies that verse. You will keep in perfect and constant peace the one whose mind is steadfast, that is, committed and focused on you in both inclination and character, because he trusts and takes refuge in you with hope and confident expectation. Trust confidently in the Lord forever. He is your fortress, your shield, your banner. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock, the rock of ages. I love looking at different versions because it just brings more out that can go in here and down here. And sometimes it can be, you can grab one word that's easier to remember than the other. But this is The peace that Jesus has for us. My peace. This is my peace. I'm giving you my peace. This is normal. This is normal. So if we practice that, and we practice living and walking in his peace, then when something comes against our peace, we know right away, because I don't like that feeling. That is pressure, or it ruffled my feathers, or however you want to say it in your mind. That does not feel right. I'm going back to where I left my peace, and I'm going back there, and I'm going to say, Lord, that really bothers me. What is it? Are you showing me something? Is that a red flag? You don't want me to do that. What is it? I want that peace to remain. So this is the Prince of Peace. This is your Jesus. Jesus is. It's who he is. It's what he gives. He gives shalom. He gives peace. So if there's anything in your life tonight that's hard, that's fearful, that you have anxiety over, that you're sad, or it's overwhelming for you, roll your burden on the Lord. Cast your cares on him. Tell him about it. Be anxious for nothing and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Cast the whole weight of the matter on him. And remember, he is the Prince of Peace for you. I want to close by reading a little devotion that Spurgeon wrote, because nobody else writes like him. That, you know, I can't reword something, or I'm not a poet. I can't do that. But when I read him, it's like, oh, yes. And I had a screen for it so you could follow along, but I'm sorry, you'll have to just listen. The title is Peace Always. These words are inexpressibly sweet. If you think for a moment, you will see that we never obtain peace except from the Lord. In your trials, what will bring peace? Let me tell you, the Lord himself, the Lord of peace himself. And I find great peace thinking about this, his mysterious person. He is a man tempted as we are, yet without sin, a man who knows every grief of the soul and every pain of the body, thus his tender sympathy and power to deliver. His person is a source of peace. Rest your soul by meditating on his death. View him wounded, bleeding and dying on the tree. A wonderful calm will steal over your heart. Jesus is that bundle of myrrh and spice from which peace flows like a sweet perfume. When he comes near your heart and shows you his wounds and speaks his love, you feel the divine fervency of his peace. When he assures you that you are one with him, united in an everlasting embrace that knows no divorce, your soul is steeped in peace. This is an experiential business, and words cannot express it fully. The Lord of peace himself gives you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you. And that was 2 Thessalonians 3:16. He does not merely offer peace or argue that you ought to have it or merely show you the grounds for it. He gives it. He can give you peace. He will give you peace. And I will add, because he is peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And Lord, Jesus, thank you. Thank you. You know what this world is all about. You don't miss a thing. And you know that the closer it is to your return, just the worse and the more evil and wicked it gets. And yet, your peace can rule and reign in our hearts through it all. Thank you, Father, for providing your Son for our salvation so that we can have peace with you and have a relationship with a God, a creator of the heavens and the earth. Thank you. And Jesus, thank you so much that you came and you brought hope and you brought peace into this world, and that you said you will leave your peace, and that you speak peace. The name of Jesus is peace. Thank you for the peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, we confess to you our worries and our cares, and we give them over to you. And we ask that they would be replaced by the peace that surpasses our understanding, that we would experience this and not just experience it, but we would live in it every single day. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and close in a song.